Greetings, dear listeners, and a warm and cuddly welcome to It's a 90s Christmas Podcast, where we talk about the most wonderful time of the year and everything that has to do with it and its media. I am one of your hosts, Lasse Vogt.
And I am your other host, Lyle Perez.
And together we not only keep the spirit of Christmas alive, but we also invite all of you to enjoy and embrace it with us on this show. Lyle, how's it going?
It's going good. Other than it being 110 degrees outside, it is in nowhere near Christmas because it is so hot outside. I feel like I'm going to melt.
Yeah, same here. Except it's nighttime, so it has cooled down a little bit. But during the day, it was quite hard. And tomorrow I have tennis training, so that's going to be pure hell.
Oh, you're going to die.
Oh, it will be awful. But, you know, what can you do? You know, it's sports, and during sports you have at least to suffer a little bit.
Yeah, well, you know how when Frosty melts, that's what you're going to be tomorrow.
Oh, God, yes. So, today, dear listeners, this is the first for both of us because we want to talk also on the show about certain Christmas specials. And today's special is one that's called The Town Santa Forgot. And it aired on December 3rd, 1993 for the first time. It's an animated Christmas television special produced by Hanna-Barbera. I think that says a lot to most of you. And it's narrated by Dick Van Dyke. I think that's also a person you know a lot about. And it originally broadcast on NBC. It's an adaptation of the poem Jeremy Creek, written by Jermaine Severson. I hope I pronounced that right. Since then, it was frequently shown in Christmas marathons on Cartoon Network until 2005, and is still shown annually on Boomerang. Do you have any history with this special?
You know, to be honest, I don't. I only realized this special because we were trying to find another show, the fourth show for the month, and I was like, okay, let's see if there was any Christmas specials. I was thinking like maybe a Charlie Brown Christmas, Grinch special, something like that. So I just did a little bit of research and I came across The Town Santa Forgot, and I thought this was from 93. I was what, 8? I don't never remember ever seeing this on TV, and I still haven't seen it on TV. I have zero memory of this special. What about you?
No, I mean, Eva, this was the first time I ever heard of it, sadly. But, you know, it makes sense. If it's a Christmas special that's not that well known compared to others in the States, then it's likely I never heard of it myself either.
Yeah, totally, because we are in two different continents and we have two different televisions. So, but yeah, I mean, I am the American. I should have seen this, but unfortunately I didn't. But, you know, now that I have, I think to myself, you love Christmas. Why have you not seen this special? Because this really embodies Christmas. Like this, I'm an adult now, so a lot of the aspects of the child in this special really hit home to me because it's like seeing my kids on there, and I'm like, okay, those are my kids. What can I do to show them what Christmas is all about? And this special, I think, does it, and it does it well.
Yeah, to be honest, during the first few minutes, I was incredibly annoyed.
You too?
Because, yeah, it was there was, you know, it starts with this snowy Christmas Eve on which a pair of anxious young children eagerly anticipate the arrival of Santa Claus and the gifts that they will be receiving and all of that. And then their elderly grandfather narrates a poetic fable with the intentions of educating them in the true nature of the holidays. And then it switches to his story. And it's this immediate jarring change of pace and style, and I was incredibly annoyed by the kid in this poem. And not even 1.5 minutes in, I was looking at my watch. I was like, "Oh no, no!" And to be honest, it grew on me more and more. And at the end, I had never thought that I would be this warmed in my heart, and I immediately watched it again right after it. Like I just couldn't believe it how much it actually changed me. I was really moved by this special, and I was so astounded by it.
You know, so was I. And before we continue, I want everyone to stop this recording right now. And if you've never seen the town Santa Forgot, look it up online. It's on, I think it's on YouTube. It's also on
Dailymotion.
Yeah, Dailymotion. It's on there. Somebody uploaded it. It's only 21 minutes, 22 minutes long. Watch it. And if you're like Lassa and me, which I have the same exact reaction as Lassa, I watched the first couple of minutes and I was so close to emailing Lassa and saying, you know what, we're gonna have to find a different special because I'm not gonna be able to get through this one. And that was only about 3 minutes in. And then and then I was like, no, just, I mean, it's a 90s thing, just keep going, it's gonna be fine, just trust me, little Lyle, just keep watching. And so I listened to my inner self, I kept watching, and wow, by the end, I was almost in tears. I'm sad to admit it, but there was three moments towards the very end that hit me like really hard. And I was like, you know what? That's it right there. This podcast is like, this special is what this podcast was all about from the very beginning.
Yeah, let's see. When we go through this special, we will see if your almost teary up moments, whoever wants, I was tearing up myself a little bit.
I'm pretty sure they would be. But, I mean, before we get into that, I guess we're going to get into the plot now. So we're going to play a Christmas commercial, and then we will be right back.
Cookie crisp, very cookie crisp. Little cookies, lots of chips that you can't resist. Cookie, Crook, and Chip in a one-dog open sleigh, crashing through the snow, laughing all the way. Bells on cocktails ring.
They're not very bright, but being that it's Christmas time, I'll give them some tonight. Cookie Crisp is the merry part of this complete breakfast.
Now there's a Marvel Spider-Man trading card, free inside specially marked boxes of Cookie Crisp.
Get a clue.
Get a job.
Get a haircut.
Get some hair.
Have some respect.
Have some prunes.
Why, you?
I ought to take this and just
get a body.
With new games like Ken Griffey Jr.'s Major League Baseball, Tetris Plus, and Donkey Kong Land 3, the world is a better place.
Nice earrings.
Nice hearing aid.
What?
And we are back. We hope you enjoyed those wonderful Christmas commercials.
You know I did.
I did too. So let's go into the plot and also like the rundown of the overall story, as we always do with these short episodes. So why don't you, I mean, I actually described the opening with the little kids on Christmas Eve, and they talk about like, oh, I hope Santa gives me, you know, what I wished for. And then their elderly grandfather narrates the favor. So it's, you know, he bookends the special with his, with his opening. So is there another thing you wanted to say about the first scene?
Other than, I mean, I already said it. When I was looking at the opening scene, I was like, holy crap, these are my two kids right here. They're asking for presents already. And I don't know. I never remember acting like this as a kid. I never wrote Santa a letter asking for like 1,000 things. I only asked them for like one, maybe two things. Because that's my personality. That's the same way I am now. I don't need 1,000 things, so I don't need to be a brat about it. And
no, I, yeah.
Yeah, and these kids, they're brats. They're like my kids.
Yeah, that's what immediately kind of turned me off about it. And the animation actually reminded me of Garfield a little bit.
Yeah, it did.
Because the grandpa actually looks like a mix of animated Garfield and a Muppet.
Yeah,
like,
I guess
he looks like the one from Stettler and Waldorf, you know.
I'm picturing him, yeah, totally.
So, yeah, and I was also, you know, I wrote down a few things on my wish list, but I think I was a little less humble than you. But still, yeah, like even today, you know, I don't write to Santa, but we actually do still make wish lists to our parents and stuff like that. And, you know, I still like try to figure out which of these, you know, which could I buy myself and which ones are actually like wishes that would be worthy. So, yeah, there's a little more, you know, of a thought process going on nowadays.
Oh yeah, like nowadays I don't want presents. I don't want people spending money on me. I work, I can buy myself whatever I want. I don't need presents. Like I tell everyone in my family every year, don't buy me anything. Like if you're gonna buy me something, buy me a pair of pants. Like they're only like $10, that's fine. I don't need you to buy me a $100 gift. I don't need it. And sure enough, like they buy me presents and I'm just like, I feel bad.
Yeah. So why don't you describe what happens at the beginning of a story?
All right. So the beginning, the grandpa sits the kids down and he's like, I'm going to tell you guys a little story. And so we go into the story. It's a story about a kid named Jeremy Creek. He has too many toys. Like that's pretty much what it starts off with. He has thousands of toys. He gets them from everybody. He gets them from his parents, from his aunts and uncles, his even his cousins. Everybody is giving him presents, and he would get them by whining. So like I said before, these are my kids. They start whining and you just give them something to tell them to be quiet. And that's pretty much what this kid is all about. He cries, he gets presents, and he's basically just a rotten child. And he's at the store, he wants this cowboy thing, like a cowboy horse. And his parents tell him no. He starts crying until he gets it. And the parents, they're trying to reason with him, but he just won't listen. He just cries and he whines until he finally gets what he wants. And then the parents eventually ground him.
Yeah, I was like, you know, do you know the German book, like Struwwelpeter? The one that has like these horrific stories about kids who misbehave and then they are punished by something like there's a boy who whips a dog.
Oh, wow.
And he whips everybody and then the dog finally bites him and he ends up sick in bed. And there's, you know, there's a girl playing with a matches and then she sets herself on fire. And there's a boy who sucks on his thumbs. And then I think a tailor or somebody, he comes with a big pair of scissors and cuts his thumbs off. So that was actually a children's book. That was a children's book about like, hey, don't misbehave or something bad will happen. You know, it was actually kind of satirical. And I was sitting there watching this little Jeremy Creek and was like, this kid needs like this certain German author to write a poem about him. He would make the boy either have cut his thumbs off or make his screaming head explode.
Wow. And that's a kid's book?
Yeah, that's actually a kid's book. It's quite horrifying, but also kind of funny.
Yeah, in a way, I guess it can be.
Yeah, they actually made fun of it, Family Guy, in one episode. It was really fun about the boy who did get his thumbs cut off, and then at the end of the story, this narration was like, now he has no thumbs. Good night.
Crazy times.
So yeah, oh god. So, and he is, when they count actually all his toys, like he's like whamming in them. You know, this kid is pretty much a jerk. He goes up to his room and starts to plot about how he can get more toys since his parents finally told him no. And then he figures out, hey, Santa has more presents than me and more toys than me. And then he writes him a letter about all these types of toys he wants. And his list has everything. It's like several toy stores long. And he tries to airmail it on his remote control plane, but the list is too heavy. And then he eventually sends his by first class mail, and he has stamps all over the payload letter.
You see, he rolls them into a bale, like a hay bale for like horses, mm-hmm. and whatnot. And it's like he's got stamps all around it. He even has stamps on his tongue from apparently licking stamps.
Yeah, and he's like totally exhausted. And how they are counting down the toys is kind of fun, you know, how they rhyme it and show how much he has. Pretty out there, pretty fun stuff. So what happens next?
The next scene, we see Santa flying back to the toy shop with a huge letter, and it's the first one that they got that year. He makes a big note of saying, hey, look, we got our first letter, little elves, and all the elves cheer, and they start to unroll the letter, and it goes all over the workshop. It just keeps unrolling until it finally reaches the last elf, and the last elf goes like, whoa! They see, and so they're reading the list, and there's so much stuff on the list with all these toys, and at the very end, it says that it's signed Jeremy Creek, and Santa and the elves, I guess they can't grasp the fact that a kid would be this selfish, that Jeremy Creek can't be a child. It has to be a place. So Santa says that Jeremy Creek has to be a place. I mean, there's no possible way it can be a boy. So they roll out their huge map, and they're like looking with magnifying glasses, trying to find Jeremy Creek, trying to find the little town. And they finally, one of the elves finds it, and he's like, hey, look, it's right here, Jeremy Creek. And they go, oh, well, that place, that town isn't on our route, so it no wonder we've never heard about it, we've never seen it, we've never been there, because it's not, you know, in Santa's route. And Santa, of course, because he's jolly Santa, he feels bad because he completely forgot about this town, hence the name of the story, the town Santa forgot. And he forgets that this place was even there, so he wants to make it special this year. He has the list, and he's going to make sure that this year he goes, and at this time it's like months in advance, so we're like in June or something, and because Jeremy did it months in advance, he wrote this letter, and it took him forever to write that letter. It was like, I don't know how long, but the little montage of him writing just seemed like it took forever.
Yeah, I think they later say it was like half a mile long.
Yeah, half a mile long.
Oh God, because, yeah, and this section actually was kind of weird to me, because we see Santa in his sleigh with his letter, and I was like, wait, Santa picks up his own mail? So he works as the postman between Christmas Eves? I don't get it.
Well, I mean, sometimes when you have like a P.O. box or something, you have to go to the mail to pick it up yourself.
Okay. Because the letter was so big, they actually said to Santa, you know, we can't deliver this. You have to go to this place.
There's not enough stamps on this thing for us to mail it.
Yeah, might be. And I love that Santa has a remote controlled garage door.
Hey, it's Santa. It's his toy shop. He has what he needs.
Yeah, and the bit with Santa and the elves is cute, when you're looking for the town, it must be a place, and then suddenly, oh, it's a musical now? Okay.
Yeah, they start singing, they do a little dance number.
Yeah, one of the voices of this was, again, Paul Williams, the songwriter of the Muppet Christmas Carol, so I guess he got around.
Yeah, he made his rounds in the 90s.
And then you know, when you see Jeremy Creek, I always want to say Jiminy Cricket.
That's probably where the writer got the name.
Might be. When he like, I like how Jeremy's costumes change depending on the month. You know, he's wearing a devil's costume for October, pilgrim costume in November. It was actually really fun showing how the year progresses.
Yeah.
In the night before Christmas, Jeremy Creek stands on his roof waiting for Santa to deliver his toys, and finally he sees him coming to houses, and then he leaves without going to his house. And Jeremy is first sad and then angry, and he doesn't understand why Santa just didn't go to his house. He wrote him this huge letter, and he throws a fit, and then he starts crying. And there's actually one line in this, when he's like, when he sees Santa, you know, going from roof to roof, and there's this one scene, and fat laughing Santa, and I'm like, that's not very nice. And then he just speeds off, because it's like the sleigh, and then suddenly it disappears in this kind of like rainbow animation, and I'm almost like, so Santa's sleigh also has a light speed function, like the Millennium Falcon.
It seems that way. It's Santa. He's magical. Don't try to read too much into it, because your head will explode.
Yeah, but this was actually the first time I saw this depicted like this. You know, I was like, suddenly, and then he's gone.
Warp speeds out of here.
Ridiculous Pete!
Yeah, this is where I first started to tear up, because I hate it. I hate, even though he's a rotten kid, I just hate it when they don't feel like they're a part of. Like, when a little kid just doesn't feel... When he feels left out, that makes me sad. And so this was the first part. When he started crying at this point, I was like, oh, even though you're a rotten little kid, you still get me.
Yeah, I felt bad for him also. Was kind of sad. I agree. So how does it progress?
The next morning, Jeremy, he wakes up, and the neighborhood kids, they're all playing outside on Christmas. They're all playing with their toys. And he thought, hey, you know, maybe Santa snuck in when I was falling asleep. So he goes down the stairs. He looks at the tree. There's no presents. His mom tells him, yep, sorry, there's no presents. But, you know, who cares? Because you have a ton of them in your room, so you don't need any more. And the mom says, you know, what else could we buy you? Because, I mean, you have everything already. But what else do you need, you little rotten kid? And he starts crying. And the dad's like sitting in the den or something, and he's watching TV, and he pretty much shushes Jeremy from the other room because he's watching the news. And they watched a story about a small town and all of these toys that were dropped off by Santa. It was like in the middle of the town. It looked like a swamp town, like a really, really I don't even know if it can qualify as like a little town. It was just like a little community, really. And I believe the sign said that there was 8,000 residents there. 2,000 of them were kids. And the news says that the name of the town is Jeremy Creek. And the whole family gasps and they go, oh, wow, that's the name of our son, Jeremy Creek. And the boy, he puts two and two together, Jeremy, and he's like, hey, wait a minute. These are supposed to be my toys. I'm Jeremy Creek, and here's all of my toys that are supposed to be mine. And here, at one point in the little video, there was a little boy. He was walking a toy robot, and it looked just like Rosie from the Jetsons. And of course, we all know that the Jetsons were produced by Hanna-Barbera, and this was produced by Hanna-Barbera. So I guess it was kind of like a little Easter egg hunt right there.
Yeah, I recognized the robot also. I couldn't quite, I couldn't quite say, like, wait, it looks familiar. What is it? What is it exactly? And I was like, maybe it's just some you know, familiar design. But now that you're actually saying it, yeah, you're right. That must be an Easter egg. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the news lady, the reporter, when she says, like, you know, oh, this town, and I was just informed that this town has never been on Santa's route before. And I was like, so wait, the news know that Santa exists and they know about his, you know, route? I have so many questions about this.
Yeah, like in this story, Santa is a well-known thing. I'm assuming, because like you said, the news references that Santa was there. The mom references that Santa didn't come. He wrote a letter to Santa. In this story, Santa is real, and we all know it.
Yeah. So yeah, that must be it. And then, you know, she asked some of the kids, if the news lady, you know, asked some of the kids, and you see them play with the toys, and they're so happy. There's even, like, one kid, a chair with a balloon attached to it. And I was like, this is incredibly dangerous. And Jeremy specifically asked for that on his letter. And then this little girl wants to thank Santa that no one there wrote him a letter. Like the newswoman actually says, like, who wrote this letter? And the little girl's like, none of us did. And then they come to the conclusion that maybe some other kid wrote a letter for them. And this was the point for me where I was just choking up like crazy. Like, the bit with the little girl is so incredibly cute and heartwarming. And she, you know, she looks at the camera and she's like, whoever you are, we thank you with all our might. And all the kids say thank you. And I was like, Jesus, this hits me right in the heart.
It hit me too. This is part two where I started tearing up again.
this was my first time, actually. I was like, the animation, the voice acting of this little girl, how can you not, you know, if you are the hardest person in the world, how can you not choke up at this? It's so, so cute. And then, you know, Jeremy actually, he actually starts to glow, you know. He's like, he helped these little kids, and he did it by mistake, and he realizes that he was incredibly greedy, and he sees all of these toys, and he realizes how much stuff he really asked for, and that he didn't need it. Like, what greedy kid would ask for this much? You know, it, the message is incredibly clear. So, yeah, how does it go, and how does it progress?
Yeah, I mean, he sees the kids, he sees all of his toys, and then he realizes, yeah, I mean, there's no, why would I ask for this so much stuff? And you can see it on his face, like he's not crying, but he's not happy, he's not angry anymore. It's just he's like, I guess dumbfounded would be the best way to describe it. And so he feels good about himself. You can see it. And he goes into the tree, like he's a little kid, so he can somehow climb into the tree. And there's like a really small Santa ornament there. And the Santa starts talking to him. And Santa tells him, like it's the actual Santa, he's shrunk down to size and he's in the tree. And he tells him that he knows what happened. He knows that Jeremy wrote that letter and he wrote it for him. And if it wasn't for the letter, he would have never known about that town. And that the only reason he's there is because the kids asked him to bring their hero something. And Jeremy's gift is that he is going to be Santa's assistant now. So every year Santa's gonna pick him up and he's gonna help him deliver toys to all of the kids, because after this he starts giving away all of his stuff to all of the kids, all of the thousands of toys that he was swimming in earlier. He's like giving all the stuff away. At one point he earlier in the show there was a scene of like a little girl riding a horse that was outside, like one of those toy horses, and he comes out and screams at her and she takes off. And this time they do the same thing. The little girl is out there, she's playing on the horse, and he comes out looking angry like he's gonna yell at her again, but he takes off his hat, his like cowboy hat, and he puts it on the girl and she goes happy. And you know, it's a nice touching moment. And we see a lot of this type of stuff in this montage. And he's Santa's helper now. So every year he gets into the sleigh, he's still a little kid, and at one point years later he's older now and he's bigger, and he tries to get into the sleigh and Santa just like shakes his head. And then this is part three where I started to tear up, was looking at that little kid. The little kid grew and he's not a little kid anymore. He was like not a teenager but like a tween or something, and he he was too big for the sleigh, and he Santa just shook his head saying sorry, like that's, you're too big now. And then I started tearing up, and that's where it really hit me about, you know, we all get older and we just don't see Christmas the same anymore.
Yeah, and how he just, you know, peacefully says goodbye. It even makes Santa a little gift. You know, and it's, oh Jesus, it was just, I was almost crying at that point. It was incredibly heartwarming. And after that, it cuts back to the wraparound, and the kids are now humble too, and they're like, to their grandpa, now I don't care what I get, you know. And then the grandpa says, you know, every couple of years he is looking for a new assistant, and then when he says, you know, maybe it will be you, and then he looks at the camera and says, or you, and that is slightly unintentionally hilariously creepy kind of. And then it turns out, of course, it was an autobiographical story, because it's revealed that on the mailbox outside it reads J. Point Creek. So the old man was Jeremy all along, and I knew it. I knew it several minutes ahead. But it's, you know, the message sticks, because earlier when he goes to the tree, there's like this heavenly glow coming through the window. Like, I think it's just supposed to be the sun, but, you know, it's sprinkled with a little bit of Christmas magic. And I was like, how it's shining through my window, I almost expected to see Jake Blues going, "The band! The band!" from Bruce Brothers. Yeah. And then, of course, the big, big message when Jeremy Crick says, it's more fun to give than it is to receive. That's exactly my philosophy, because at Christmas, or if it's people's birthday, I love giving gifts away, you know? And it's so much fun when they enjoy what they get and when they are happy. I love that so much. I think it's actually much more fun to me than receiving gifts. So I could totally relate to that.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's always better to give than to receive. And here at the 90s Christmas Podcast, we want to give you that nostalgic Christmas feel, which this will give it to you. So you have to go watch it. Go find it. Do it. Like, if you didn't do it earlier, do it now.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's a very sweet film with a wonderful message. It might be a little off-putting at first because of the weird tone and pace shifts, but looking back at the first few minutes with context, it totally works. And the rhymes are also quite charming as well. Glad this podcast gave me the chance to see it. I would have never watched it without it.
Yeah, I wouldn't have either.
And you mean, from the style, you can certainly tell that it's a Hanna-Barbera production, but it only hit me when I saw it in the credits. And right. The director, Robert Alvarez, is still working today on stuff like The Powerpuff Girls, Samurai Jack, and even he did some stuff at Over the Garden Wall. So it's great to see, you know, this guy still working today, because I guess, I mean, this special was nominated for one Emmy. So it shows that it actually left, you know, it left some impact on certain people. And I was also, throughout the whole special, I was like, hey, the music is kind of nice. You know, it's kind of overbearing at points, but it's pretty nice. And then in the credits, I saw it was actually composed by John Debney. Like, no wonder the score was this good. This was only 2 years before he would compose one of the greatest swashbuckling scores of all time for Cutthroat Island. And then he became like the main composer for like Jon Favreau. He did Iron Man 2 and The Jungle Book, and he does countless stuff now. Like, he's a really, really big one of his like earlier gigs or something like that. I was really surprised to see a name like this on this special.
Well, I mean, it's Hanna-Barbera. Hanna-Barbera was it at the time, because I mean, they had the Flintstones, they had the Jetsons, they had I believe Scooby-Doo. They had, you know, when you thought cartoons, Hanna-Barbera was up there.
Yeah, but still, I mean, and also like you know, someone like Dick Van Dyke narrating it, you know, you get this a lot with these Christmas specials, certain celebrity voices, which is always great. And also the voice actor of Jeremy Creek, Mike Hughes, he's also still working today, you know. He also was in stuff like Kindergarten Cop. He was in Wes Craven's New Nightmare, Susan Roxanne. He was in Spawn, he was in Clockstoppers, and in Tropic Thunder even. And he does. He still does certain TV stuff. But yeah, it's actually great, you know, to see certain people. Because I thought also his voice was really good. It was really fitting. It wasn't annoying, you know. It was actually it was well read. All the voice actors did a really good job, and it with the rhymes and stuff. I was blown away by how incredibly moving this special was. Like, I was totally surprised. And I guess, yeah, I mean, that's also what Christmas is about, you know, being surprised by something that's surprisingly heartwarming and cute and just totally puts you in the Christmas mood.
Oh, definitely. And one thing I did want to mention is that one thing I didn't really get was when... Because at the very beginning, the grandpa's telling the story, and it does like an outside view of the house, and it looks like, you know, a total 90s style house, right? And later we find out that is supposed to be like, I don't know how old the grandpa is at this point. Let's just say he's 70, and so this had to have been like 60 years in the past. It looked like it was the 90s, and when they go back to present time, it still looks like the 90s. Like, it doesn't look like he's telling an old story. It just looks like he's telling a present day story. I don't know if you noticed that.
Oh, yeah, I did. You're right. But, you know, maybe that was kind of the point, like how he, in his mind, twisted the story from the look a little bit, because the kids are not supposed to know that it was his childhood. So it could be just any kid. And so he just let the story take place in the 90s, because I'm pretty sure the wraparound segment takes place in the 90s.
Yeah, like a lot of those toys that Jeremy Creek had were like, that seemed like modern toys. It didn't seem like something that it would have been like, I don't know, I'm going to say at maybe from the 20s or the 30s, because that's when, you know, the grandpa would have been at that age, Jeremy Creek's age. So I don't know. I guess they did it that way so we wouldn't know that at the very end it was, you know, the grandpa was Jeremy Creek.
Yeah, I mean, and some of them certainly were exaggerated toys, like the robot. You know, that's only something, you know, you could wish from Santa, because it's kind of like with magic and stuff. if this is nothing a toy store would own. So, and also like a chair with a balloon attached to it. Like, I mean, Santa, you have some responsibility, you know. You don't just give a gun away. You also don't give little kids this chair with a balloon. That's just as lethal in the wrong hands.
Totally. All right. So, do we have anything else we want to say about this special?
I pretty much said my two cents. I loved it. I really did. I didn't expect it to be this incredibly moving and this heartwarming. I was blown away. Like, no matter what else we watch for this show, like stuff we have never seen before, I doubt that we'll be taken this off guard again.
Right. Yeah, but we'll see what other episodes hold in front of us.
Yeah, indeed, we will see that. So if you don't have anything more to say about it...
Oh, I loved this thing. So like I said, if you haven't seen it yet, go watch it now.
Yeah, and if you were smart, you actually paused the episode early on and watched it and then came back. So you know what we're talking about.
Yes, of course.
And maybe you watched it back then, you know, maybe you watched it in 2005 or whatever. Or maybe it's one of your Christmas traditions, you know. I'm sure it is for some people, because it really deserves it. It's really cute. I guess that's it for today.
Yep, that's it for today.
So, why don't you tell our listeners where people can find this podcast and also you?
Of course, you can find this podcast on iTunes and pretty much wherever else you can get podcasts from. I'm pretty sure it's all there now. We are in week 4 of this podcast, so it's everywhere. It's released now, so you would have zero problem finding it. You can send us any questions, comments, or you want to suggest anything for a future show, just send those to send it to 90schristmaspodcast@gmail.com. You could also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/90schristmaspod. And we're also on Twitter at 90schristmaspod.
That's awesome. I also have another podcast, Fans About Films, where I talk with fans about films and also with composers about their music. It's currently available on SoundCloud and iTunes, and it has a growing listenership, so please check it out. I would be really humbled to see you on there. And yeah, please visit this podcast, stick with us. I guess you already did, because it's, like you said, week 4. We have you in the pommel of our hands now.
Yes, of course.
Didn't mean to say that this menacing. This is a time of compassion and a time of love, and we share this and this wonderful time and its specials with you. And I hope you enjoyed this episode.
Yes, of course. And thank you guys so much for listening. So I guess that's going to do it for us. And we will see you again next time. Have a good night.
Have a good night and a lovely, lovely, cuddly Christmas time.